I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleagues of many years, Tom Joslin and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. They are senior fellows. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, a chronology and analysis of the contest across the Ummah, the vast landscape that the U.S. these last 20 years has been engaged in, blood, treasure, fortune, future. Presidents come and go, but the Ummah remains unconquered. At the same time, the analysis about what's going on there is part of the 21st century's future. So, gentlemen, I present to you an interview, most helpful interview, by David Ignatius, the senior and esteemed columnist for the Washington Post, with the new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. Mr. Blinken was for many years the National Security Advisor to Vice President Biden. So his role as Secretary of State certainly enhances his status, but in any event, he has an easy dialogue with the now President Biden. In this interview, it is very unclear to me, even though the interview was conducted at length, whether Mr. Biden has made a decision, whether they're staying or going from Afghanistan. The date is May 1st. That is what we're told. So, Tom, I begin with you, since you are extremely apprised of the facts on the ground in Afghanistan these last years of the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and now the Biden administration. Can you tell from Mr. Blinken's remarks, are they leaving? Are they staying? Are they involving the facts on the ground, which include al-Qaeda, or are they moving in a different atmosphere? Good evening to you, Tom.
Good evening, John. Well, I think that there's a lot of confused thinking going into the Biden administration's approach right now. And what I mean by that is that basically President Biden has been offered a false choice, which is that if the U.S. just delays its withdrawal by several more months, 3 months, 6 months, what have you, that the Taliban will change its stripes after all these years. And instead of being a hardline jihadist group that is hell-bent on resurrecting its Islamic Emirate, that the Taliban will suddenly be willing to compromise on its longstanding political goals and share power with the regime in Kabul. Bill and I have been documenting the Taliban very carefully for a very, very long time. Obviously, there's not a hint, there's not a whisper that that's true. There's no reason to believe the Taliban is going to give up its longstanding goal of resurrecting its totalitarian Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. This is the regime that was overthrown by the American-led invasion in 2001. They've been fighting for it ever since then. They have all sorts of foreign jihadi organizations and enmeshed organizations, including al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda-affiliated groups. They're fighting for the same cause. There's just no reason to believe that these tens of thousands of fighters are all of a sudden going to lay down their arms and share power with the Afghan government. But this sort of magical thinking is basically baked into the option that's being presented to President Biden. And I think what Bill and I have been saying all along is we need to be realistic about this. I mean, if you're going to get out, then you can get out. You don't need to stay indefinitely, or you're going to have to back the Afghan government indefinitely. This magical option that's being presented to President Biden doesn't make any sense. And really, if you think it through as a decision maker, what this is going to lead to is that President Biden, you know, whether it be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 10 months from now, whatever it is, it's basically going to be in the same position as he is now, where the U.S. is going to have to figure out whether or not to complete the complete throwing the Afghan government under the bus during a withdrawal, or is going to actually stay indefinitely. That's the bottom line.
The Ignatius column includes these remarks by the columnist David Ignatius. He writes, "I'm told that U.S. negotiators have shared some detailed ideas for transition with the Taliban and the Kabul government, including basic governing principles, early elections, and other power-sharing measures, and proposals for achieving a durable ceasefire. Tom, I was under the understanding that the Taliban regards elections as the devil's work, and that the idea of power-sharing or early elections, all of that is, well, you say magical thinking. It's inaccurate, isn't it, Tom? The Taliban would never discuss elections."
Yeah, when I say magical thinking, I mean magic in that they were going to somehow transform the Taliban from what it is. And it's delusional thinking in terms of thinking the Taliban is willing to actually accommodate any of this. I mean, they've been adamant about this for a very long time. And look, I mean, the bottom line is what you have is you have State Department officials and others who are viewing the Taliban through a Western lens. They're trying to pretend like it's just some political party in France that you need to bargain with, as opposed to being a religiously and ideologically motivated organization that is committed to its jihad and believes in an afterlife in which they're rewarded for it. So this idea that somehow the Taliban is going to forego all of its religious beliefs, all of its ideological beliefs, is going to actually give up on everything it said it's ever believed in, in the coming months just because the U.S. stayed a little longer. This is not reasonable. Nobody can actually think this or believe this. And yet, you know, the Ignatius column you referenced, John, he says he's been told that these political measures have been sort of advanced or offered to both the Taliban and the Afghan government. But what's telling about that is that, you know, you don't have to be told that. I mean, actually, Secretary of State Antony Blinken's letter to Ashraf Ghani, which dressed down Ghani and basically whitewashed the Taliban, has been leaked by the Afghan press. And you can see that this is – and also the State Department's so-called peace plan has been leaked by the Afghan press. You can see that it's a complete whitewash of the Taliban. They still don't understand what the Taliban is about after all these years, or they refuse to understand what the Taliban is about after all these years. But the guy who's left holding the short end of the stick is Ashraf Ghani, the Afghan president, who finds himself increasingly on the outside looking in.
Bill, you have provided a very helpful illustration of Afghanistan right now, April 2021. To show where al-Qaeda and allied groups are operating in the provinces. I note that it's the whole border with Pakistan extending up to the border with Iran. We're looking at surrounding Kabul and the central provinces. This is where al-Qaeda and allied groups are strong. Is the Taliban also strong in these provinces? And is this map right now what the Secretary of State can look at as well? We're leaving a country that's surrounded like a boa constrictor by the al-Qaeda around Kabul.
Good evening, John. Yeah, and just to be clear, this map only shows part of the picture. What I'm showing here is where al-Qaeda has admitted to operating. That is in 18 provinces, and we can confirm some of this via press reports. And this is in al-Qaeda's own media arm, the Sabah, which is basically it's an al-Qaeda, like I said, an al-Qaeda media production. They've talked about operations in 18 provinces. And then we've detected in three other places where al-Qaeda was targeted recently by Afghan or U.S. security forces. So you have 21 to 34 provinces. The al-Qaeda is not going to operate in any of these provinces without a Taliban presence and without a strong Taliban presence. Taliban is stronger in more provinces than we show on this map. So again, this map is just showing a subset of the, it shows the Taliban problem and then the al-Qaeda problem. This is something that, look, the reality is the Secretary Blinken and Defense Secretary Austin, they all should know this. But this information has been doctored on its way up, and we learned about this. Remember, I want to say it was about 5 years ago with the scandal at CENTCOM when intelligence on Afghanistan and Iraq was being doctored on the way up the chain in order to make political outcomes look better. So, this is one of the things, al-Qaeda's presence in Afghanistan and its cooperation collusion with the Taliban, that should not be happening under this so-called peace deal, which is really a withdrawal deal between the U.S. and the Taliban. And yet here we are in March or April 2021, 13 months after the signing of that deal, and you have al-Qaeda operating in two-thirds of Afghanistan's provinces. We don't see things getting better. Secretary of State Pompeo said that Taliban would help destroy al-Qaeda. There have been zero Taliban operations or al-Qaeda has turned on zero al-Qaeda operatives in those 13-plus months. And in fact, what we're seeing is an expansion of al-Qaeda's operations. And it makes sense because the Taliban, and they said this numerous times in its statements, they believe they've won in Afghanistan. They say the only acceptable outcome is the resurrection of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan with its leader, Mullah Abiatullah Akhundzada, as the emir of the group. And it believes it's won, and it's going to reward its ally in arms for two decades plus. It's going to reward al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda has been instrumental in bringing this about. And so nothing in this map should be shocking to Secretary Blinken, to Secretary Austin, to President Biden, if they actually paid attention. But this whole process over the last decade plus has been so politicized, and this is why you have things like this ridiculous withdrawal deal and ideas like the Taliban is going to change its stripes, as Tom outlined perfectly, in the course of 3 to 6 months. It's all nonsense. It's wish casting. It's, as Tom said, magical thinking. I could also hand them a unicorn, a pony, and whatever magical beast that you could conjure up. We'll get those as well, along with the Taliban agreeing to elections.
Bill, is it accurate to say that as the Taliban rejects democracy, power sharing, governance, as the Taliban rejects all that, al-Qaeda rejects it times 1,000, that democracy is the devil's work and that it's unacceptable in emirates? Is that all correct, Bill?
I would actually say they reject it equally as vehemently. You know, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, their disgust for Western-style democracy, socialism, communism, et cetera, et cetera. Their hatred of that is, I don't think you could say one hates it more than the other. You could probably argue that the Taliban may hate it even a little bit more, given that it's been imposed upon their country, you know, via military means and via Western intervention. But no, I would definitely say their hatred is equal.
I'm speaking to Bill Raggio and Tom Johnson, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. We're looking at, right now, the presentation by the Biden administration through the voice of the Secretary of State about a decision being made at some point in these next weeks about the U.S. military presence leaving Afghanistan or not. When we come back, there's a suggestion that something will stay behind. And what does that mean for the U.S. commitment to an Afghanistan that, according to Bill's illustration, documented by incidents, is completely strangled by the Al-Qaeda on the ground as a transnational threat to the world? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.